Welcome to the Cornerstone Ministries Sermon Podcast. Each week, you'll hear powerful messages from our weekend services, plus midweek bonus content to help you grow deeper in your walk with Christ. Wherever you are, we want you to know God deeply, find freedom, and be empowered to make a difference for God's glory. To learn more about our church family or to connect with us, visit lifewithcornerstone.com.
Well, hey, church, welcome to After the Amen, where each week we get to dig into the sermon, figure out how we live out our faith after the Amen, in between the weekend experience. So, Pastor Paul, this past weekend had some fun elements, had all those cute kiddos up there this weekend.
Oh, yeah, baby dedications.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, having your kids dedicated and...
Oh, yes, but it was weird because I'm the pastor.
Okay.
So
Did you dedicate them yourself?
Yeah. I mean, they were just a part of the dedication thing. So,
So,
that is kind of odd. I hadn't thought about that in a while. I baptized all my children.
I can't wait for that. I hope and pray I get to do that.
Yeah. They're cutting grass out back.
They are.
Can you hear Rachel? Is it really bad out there? No, not bad. No, okay.
I hope I get to do that. Yeah, I hope I get to baptize my kids one day. I did actually. I got to baptize Lexi a few years ago.
Oh, really?
It was.
You told me that.
It's one of my favorite memories. It was really beautiful because she got baptized when she was younger, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. She felt like she didn't do it for the right reasons.
Right.
And her mom passed. Her faith looked different, so didn't do it again.
Yeah.
I will say a quick story, just because I love the baby dedications are cute. We had our youngest dedicated here. And right as Pastor Don Chapman, our pastor emeritus, as he was handing Ollie back to Lexi, Ollie spit up right over his shoulder.
Nice.
All over the stage.
I admire that. I've heard that, I've heard that Pastor Don was, they called him the baby whisperer.
He was.
I don't do that. I love children. It's not that I don't want to hold them and love on them, but dude, on stage, man, it makes me so nervous. I'm just like, keep the kids.
Oh, they were grabbing at his mic and doing all this stuff.
I don't know how he did it. I don't have the patience or whatever. So.
After we had the baby dedications, everything like that, I know you were looking forward to this series. You went through tore through Acts 10. A lot of text.
Yeah, it's a lot of text.
But I know with this series in particular, we threw around a couple different sermon titles. Like, if you've noticed in this series, we've every sermon's the one who, to kind of pull out, like, well, am I that one?
Yep.
Or do I know somebody who's that one?
Yeah.
But one of the additional titles we threw around for Cornelius was the reality that God interrupts a quiet faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cornelius kind of was just doing his own thing.
Right.
But we have kind of a cultural thing I wanted to ask you about coming up. Mm. We have a local Pennsylvania elections.
Yep.
We got a few judges who really stand up for election in crucial spot with the pro-life conversation.
Yes.
As far as a quiet faith, how do we kind of balance being bold with our faith, but you know, not charging into politics?
Yeah.
How do we balance our worldview and political opinions and live out our faith?
Yeah, I didn't plan it this way by any stretch of the imagination, but it does. I think there are parallels to Cornelius and his story. And I think I said in the sermon that he had a boring faith before Jesus, you know, and that, of course, it wasn't boring to him. It's just exaggeration for the sake of effect, you know, but it was quote unquote boring until God showed up. And it's the same in the public square. So I think I would say Acts 10 is all about God tearing down walls that we put up, including walls of who deserves God's love, who deserves God's protection. And pro-life isn't just a political issue. I hate calling it an issue. Because it's life, it's a theological one.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe as a church family and as Christ followers that every person has divine worth. And our faith can't stay private in matters like this. And that doesn't mean that we're going to go out, nor do I believe that it is the most effective way to go out and shout and be loud. Or to yell and scream. We go and we quietly and sternly and strongly make our voice known for the scripture and life at the ballot box. And so, you know, Peter had to overcome his own barriers to reach Cornelius and to reach someone that was outside of who they felt was could be saved. And we have to overcome our own comfort zones.
Yeah.
And voting is one of the simplest ways we can say yes. We talked about just giving God your yes this week. And so it's just a yes to stewarding the influence that God has given us.
Yeah.
So again, not being about being loud or obnoxious. It's about being faithfully present where God calls us to be. And if we won't speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, then who will? And I firmly believe that God will judge the church based on how we care for and love those that are most vulnerable among us. So,
And it, the Lord's just, I think it's funny. I'm having a hard time not laughing hearing the grass cutting behind
me. I know.
But I know exactly who's doing it. It's Rick.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because he is a quiet man, but he's not a weak man.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about what you just said about not being bold and charging in. A quiet faith doesn't mean it's a weak faith.
Yeah, he's one of the, that's a great point, by the way. He's one of the strongest men, both physically and spiritually that I've ever met.
I don't want to mess with him.
Nope. He has a law enforcement background, and he was the real deal back in the day and still is. But yeah, when you think of Rick, you don't think somebody that's not standing up to faith. And that man worships. Dude, you ever watch him on a Sunday morning?
I love it.
It's just amazing. Yeah. So we stand up, and one of the ways that we stand, I think one of the smaller ways, is through voting. And so, and we've got guides that are available, you know, in our lobby.
Okay.
I saw that they came in, and it kind of talks to you about where. It's not going to tell you who to vote for. We don't do that, but it gives you more clear outline of where some of these justices stand and can help you be informed to vote a little bit more scripturally and morally aligned with where the Bible is. Yeah. So thanks for asking. Let me speak into that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And this came up in a previous podcast, but I just think it's so good. And I want you to say the phrase, you said it last time, because I had a pastor say, bringing the Bible to bear on relevant issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And you had do you remember what it was?
Yeah, rightly interpret the times through the lens of scripture.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
What's happening, what's going on out there, so.
Well, hey, this series, you know, I know that's kind of a more serious topic, but...
Whoa, you're just jumping right into it. How did it feel to be on this side of things last week?
I
was going to ask you about
chair,
this?
This is my good side. My right side's my good side.
Okay. A little different, isn't it?
It is. And I told you this. I said, Maddie is... she's within our production team and creative department. She does an amazing job with our graphics and everything like that. And Rachel, you do too. And, but she and I have had a good relationship, because she actually, along with a team of people, held the young adult ministry together in the interim before I came on staff.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
So she and I connected, with my wife and I, with her and her husband. So for her and I said it in the podcast to just have a chat with her was fun.
Yeah. I listened to it this morning on the way in at the time that we're recording this one. I actually listened to it. And, by the way, you don't ever get to give me a hard time for how long my answers are. By the way, how long was it, Rachel? Wasn't it like 39 minutes or 40 something minutes?
It was 35.
Check it real 35. Quick. We have time. We'll take time for 38 minutes.
We've had
30. No. Is that not the longest one?
That is not the longest one.
Oh, please. Whatever.
That's why they're so long, because we're both long-winded.
Good save.
We are. We're both teachers, so we're both long-winded.
I got that out of my system. Now we can go
feel
on.
Better now.
I do. I do.
You made the comment a couple of weeks ago about how I word the question to try and get you to.
Yeah.
Maddie didn't give that to me. Why I went long.
Yeah,
she's got to tell me to hurry up. So in a couple of weeks, you know, she'll co-host again with me.
Okay.
And we'll nudge at her. Tell
it
her
was really good. It was fun. I'm sure everybody liked a little variety and not hearing me every week. So thanks for doing that.
Oh yeah, but it's been fun to do, and Pastor Chris is coming up next. Yeah. This weekend, so that's gonna be.
Yep.
I'll be interested to dig into some things with him around Lydia.
He's so fun.
Don't miss this. This
you
coming
should make
weekend.
Him tell a little bit of his story too, because I don't think most of the church, especially some of our listeners, probably don't even know that guy's just incredible. He's a pilot.
Some of his war stories.
Yeah, and flying, crazy. I've heard, and he's very humble, but apparently a phenomenal football player back in the day. He has just lived a really unique life. So yeah. get him talking. Have some fun with it.
I'll try to. I don't think I'm gonna have an issue getting him to talk. But him as our counseling pastor, he's always just in the listening seat. Yeah. So
it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will. But I know we've had so much fun with this series, and you had a lot of fun with your show and tell with the GPS. And I knew when you were doing that, I said, you know, my first car, the glove box was stuffed with MapQuest printouts.
Yep. Yeah. We showed one online I'm pretty good with directions though.
Really?
I am.
You don't have like a story of when you got lost or anything like that?
No. I mean, I've been lost in other countries and stuff like that before we had GPS and cell phones when I did a ton of travel, but I'm pretty good. My wife says that's the reason she married me. It's because I'm really good with directions, I'm a good driver. I know I fuss and kind of have some fun and ham it up about driving and stuff and my temper, but I'm a pretty good driver, and so that I think that really attracted her to me. I won her because I'm
your height, your basketball skills, and you're good with directions.
And she says I'm funny. On the first date that we ever went on, she said because she had heard me preach, which is a weird dynamic.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And then she said, "Are you really funny?" And I'm like, what?
Do you have writers like writing your jokes in your sermon? Right.
And so I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I don't know. You're just funny. You just have these off cuff things when you preach. Are you really funny? Because I like funny people. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm hilarious. I don't know.
My wife says that all the time. She's like, I think I'm hilarious.
I think I'm hilarious. So I'm like, that, and then am I a good driver and I'm good with directions. So. Okay. Yeah, but I did. I remember the printing the MapQuest. It would have the ads, and I never could figure out how to. It was so ridiculous because you couldn't do printer format. It would just print the web page. Do you remember?
I would copy it into a Word document so I could delete the pictures and all that. Yeah. Because if you went to print it, it'd be six pages.
Yeah.
But if you just got the directions, it's like half a page. It's like add two steps. Yeah. Hated it.
Yeah. It was the banner of the old website around it. It'd be some ad for something and you'd have it in your. Oh, yeah.
I absolutely could not stand it.
And then before that was an atlas. I'm old enough to have used a road atlas. Which is what I showed on stage. I mean, that's not the one. I mean, that's a newer one. But I had a road atlas. And we'd go on a trip, and you'd highlight, you know, get it out the night before, the day before, and plan your trip, and then highlight and then write down at the bottom what your exits were. And
I remember.
Forget texting and driving. How about pulling out an atlas?
Just unfurling it in the driver's seat.
That's what you did, man. Isn't that crazy?
I remember when I had a GPS and it died on me on the way to from home to school in Virginia, 6-hour drive. I was panicking because I didn't have a printout and the GPS died and I'm already 45 minutes from home and it just, I'm like calling my dad. I'm like, Dad, what do I do?
What do I do?
And he's like, very calmly, but at the same time, he's kind of like, you idiot. It's three turns. You get on this highway, then this one,
people
then this one,
people
and
don't
you're
know.
There.
I know. But it was. It's like you don't know where you're going or what. Or isn't that crazy?
But I guarantee you, after making that drive so many times, I could do that drive blindfolded.
Sure.
I'd know where to go. Like,
sure.
Okay. All right. We've digressed enough, lost enough time.
But the GPS knows your destination.
Yes.
Even before you can see it. That was the point.
Yes. Yeah. Because that first point that you had was so good. And the way you even phrased that around how, like, God knows where you're going. He's preparing that before you're even heading that direction.
Should give you hope and encouragement.
Exactly. We see that played out with Cornelius and Peter. But before we get into the actual sermon, guys listening are like, guys, you're 15 minutes in and you're not even into the sermon. But kind of a theme phrase for this series that we haven't dug into yet, we're in week three, we haven't dug in, is you don't need a perfect past to tell a powerful story.
Yeah.
And I think you would agree with this, that sometimes the imperfect past is what makes the powerful story.
Mm-hmm.
So this phrase, this theme, why is that truth so valuable for our people to understand?
Yeah, well, and especially this sermon. Like Cornelius was, he wasn't Jewish. He was an outsider. And that's not being disrespectful to the Jewish faith or the Jewish people. That's how they thought. How they thought then and how they had really been led by the elders of the church. He was an outsider by all religious standards of the day. And the very difficult thing that, or the very thing that disqualified him culturally is what God used to actually expand the gospel. And so people don't connect with perfect testimonies. That's, you know, it's like I said a couple, I think a couple podcasts ago, is that the line from Chris Hodges that people don't know what you, don't care what you know until they know that you care. They connect with real stories. And so your struggles actually give you credibility. And I think that the enemy has us believing that your failures and your stories actually disqualify you or discredit you, but that pristine past that you think that you want or that you have to have never gives you real, you know, real credibility. And we use these extremes, right? But it's real. Like the recovering addict reaches other addicts better than someone who never struggled. So God specializes in using disqualified people. That's his MO all throughout scripture. This isn't just a Cornelius thing, right? This is an all throughout the Bible type thing. Your imperfect past is proof of God's beautiful and perfect grace. And so the intersection is, and we will, might be able to get into this a little later, it's okay, then why, you know, is it, does it matter that I do it? But it removes the pressure. And that was what I was trying to flesh out. I hope I did a good job with that. You're not the hero of the story. Jesus is. All he wants is your yes. People need to know that transformation is possible, that perfection is not what's required. And Cornelius's outsider status becomes the gateway for all outsiders to come to faith.
That's why I love that you tackled Acts 10 in context, because so often, and absolutely, our salvation, and I say our, I literally mean you and I, we're not Jewish.
Right.
Like, so our salvation, our access to the gospel, Acts 10 was
it's massive.
Huge.
And then the implications of that to Antioch and on, you know. If you haven't ever studied that, go and read Acts 10, 11, 12. See, read through those.
That's why I love the balance we have as a church to, you could say we're in a quote-unquote topical series where we're preaching through topics.
Right.
But we balance, even when we're doing a quote-unquote topical series, we want to put the verse in context, because you get those little nuggets of truth that's really beautiful. But what you just said about how your shame doesn't disqualify you actually gives you greater credibility.
100%.
I need to remind me of this. Rachel, remind me. That would be really cool to get Pastor Chris's perspective on the concept of building rapport with people.
Yeah.
And how your past... Yeah. You know, it creates connection.
How and if he leverages that in the counseling center.
Just how it opens up doors for conversation with people to go, oh,
right,
you're not this perfect individual. Maybe there's, you know, you're not on this pedestal. You're on my level.
People say that to me all the time. And I've always, you know, like when I'll preach or throughout the years, like, you're just so real. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm like... What does that mean? I don't know if people kind of put pastors up on a pedestal in our families, I guess, maybe, but I don't know. I just want to share the hope of the gospel. Like we've said, just a beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And so I hope that means that they're gaining insight from it, not, wow, you're a screw up. You're terrible. But I'll take it as that I'm just real and I share those things, because God likes to shine through the cracks in our life. And that's where he's glorified, and that's where your strength comes from. Not in the things that you've done perfectly, because you can't do anything.
Tag that, tweet that. God likes to shine through the cracks in our lives.
I got that from the Apostle Paul.
That's touche. just copyright infringement. Just make sure you credit that.
Sure.
Well, the point I referenced earlier, and it was probably one of my favorites in this sermon, was that God is always at work before we even show up. And you've alluded to this actually in some sermons around stewardship, Okay. But that oftentimes God is going to work. He's going to carry out his will in spite of us. So how do we how do we balance the fact that God wants to use us, yet his plans are ultimately bigger than us? So in other words, if we're unwilling and it is still his will, he can use someone else.
Yeah,
so
it can mess with your head, right? Yeah. It's a little complex. The line was, your job isn't to take God places, it's to go where he's already at work.
Yeah.
But then what if you don't go where he's already at work, right?
Yes, so, yes.
So I would just say, first off, that we are invited to participate, not to initiate. So so God was working in Cornelius before Peter ever showed up.
Yes.
And our availability matters, but I would argue that we are not indispensable. And that's humbling, but it's also freeing. That's why I said, here's the story, which is a powerful story, what we talked about. But then here are the encouragements. Here's how this plays out for us. And so our availability absolutely does matter. But if Peter had said no, God would have found another way, because he is sovereign in his plans. But Peter would have missed out on the blessing, right?
Come on.
And so it's just like that GPS that we talked about. If the destination exists, whether I follow it or not, I could still miss out if I don't choose to follow it. I don't bring life to the really cool restaurant that I plug into my GPS. It doesn't suddenly happen because I have arrived, and now this place, now this restaurant, right? Now this restaurant is hopping tonight, right?
Yeah.
No, it was hopping before I showed up. It's just a matter of if I choose to be involved. We don't carry the weight of the results. We just carry the responsibility of the obedient steps. And so God's work is always so much bigger. His redemptive work from cover to cover in the Bible, all throughout history. And we can see one conversation, he sees generations of lives that are changed because of our yes and by our obedience. And so when we come to understand that, the pressure is off. I'm not converting anybody by sharing my story. I'm just being faithful to say yes. And if we're unwilling, we just forfeit that privilege. So the question then becomes, right, to the second part of this, well, why does my yes still matter if God can use somebody else? Well, because your relationship with God matters, and he wants to work through us, not just around us. And every yes changes us as much as it changes the situation. The yes is as much for you, for me, as it is for the situation. I don't say yes to accomplish God's work. I say yes to be able to partner with God. Obedience shapes my character. It changes me. God's using the situation to form us into Christ's image. So your yes might be the answer to somebody else's desperate prayer. And we see this. I'll just say this in closing. I hope this helps. But when people go on mission trips to some other place, we go do mission work, or in the Rooted experience that we're launching in January, there's a serve experience component of it. And we watch people go and serve in a context that they're not used to. And they will always come back and go, something along the lines of, I thought I was going to be a blessing. Man, I feel guilty. I turned out to be the one that was blessed, right? Yeah. It's that same spiritual premise that my yes doesn't just bless others. Selfishly, it blesses me, and it changes me, and it draws me closer to God and develops and builds my character. So you're missing out on sanctification by not saying yes.
Yeah. And to that, like, so my Rooted group, we have our 3.0 pilot, just working through some people who are considering being facilitators.
Right.
And we did our serve experience this past week.
Did you?
And we went to a nursing home nearby, and they always, you know, they're always doing bingo and trivia and stuff like that. And I thought, hey, what if we, let's do something a little different. So we went in their cafeteria space, we turned the tables, and we brought beach balls and we played volleyball.
Best.
And they got so into it.
Oh, man,
it's funny because there was this one guy who was just so calm.
Sure.
And he didn't move. And as soon as the ball came near him, he just
he lit up
every time. But then one of the participants texted me after the fact and said, I don't know if this is sad to say. Mm. And I was like, of course not. But they said, that was probably the most fun I've had in a long time.
Oh. Yeah, that's it, right?
You know, so what you just said of like, that yes is for you as much as it is where you're going.
Yeah.
I think about the phrase, I've heard this, I've used this. God doesn't need us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to use us, but he wants to. Yeah,
absolutely.
But the flip the phrase, he wants to use you, mm-hmm. but he doesn't need to use you.
That's right.
And it was actually in the 2.0 rooted group with the staff.
Okay.
When we were talking about like saying yes to sharing your faith.
Right.
And I said this to the group. If I take too long to stop and think about when I didn't say yes, man, did I miss an opportunity to see somebody come to faith for the first time?
Sure.
Yeah. Because somebody else planted the seed. And if I would have said yes, I would have seen that breakthrough moment.
Right.
And I didn't get to see it.
And the sovereignty and the bigness of God, that if you choose not to and you don't give him your yes, that it still doesn't thwart his plans.
Yes.
And his sovereign purposes.
Yes.
Man. It's a both and.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you ended with a personal testimony that was really powerful.
It's insane,
and
isn't it?
Crazy.
It's all true.
You said it was a friend of your dad through the shop.
Yeah. So my dad, when he was in the kind of the car business with the body shop and mechanic shop, this gentleman was also in it with another business, but he just so happens he lived up the street. And so they would cross paths from time to time. And so I would see him in a business relationship with my father.
So you kind of knew him from a distance. So you're like, all right, it's not a total stranger.
He always dealt in like a little bit more luxury cars. And I just remember always thinking like, oh, those are cool. And I liked his cars better because he had, you know, fancy luxury cars. So there's a little bit of an intimidation factor there because I thought, oh, he's got money and, you know. But I always liked him. His name was Richard, and I always liked him. But yeah, I almost passed the house because like, oh well, that's Richard's family. I mean, I know him. He's my dad. That would be awkward and weird to go up to his house. You know? But
it's
I did.
What if this falls flat on his face? Is he going to tell my dad?
Yeah, it was awkward. Weird. Yeah, because mom and dad didn't know I'd left. They weren't home. Mm-hmm. But now when I'm grown, I could drive. I was 16, 17. I don't know how old I was at the time.
This kind of speaks to what you were saying earlier, because you said in the sermon just about how like these things don't happen, like they did, but they don't now. Then you tell this story, but you just said a little bit ago, kind of that weirdness of like, well, people put pastors up on pedestals, so we might have a lot of people who heard that story and are still thinking,
sure,
no, they just like these things don't still actually happen. And I know you started to get into this, but I guess I'm just looking for a little more. But why is our just a simple yes? You talked about that in your story of just saying yes, like, fine, I'll get up, I'll go and do this, even though this is going to be awkward. I don't want to talk to Richard about this. But why is our simple yes so valuable?
Yeah, because God's looking for availability, not ability.
Come on.
And my story, and I wrestled with, do I tell this or not? Will people think that, you know, put that on? And I hope I built it in such a way and told the story in such a way that gives God ultimate credit and honor. You know, as a teenager, zero training, no theology degree, just in that brief moment, because plenty of times, Brandon, I've missed it, right? And I didn't say yes.
Yeah.
Probably more times than I care to admit. But in that moment, there was a willingness to walk down the street, and I had no idea what to do. It was terrifying, and all I did was knock on doors and pray when I got there. And God took that awkward, uncertain yes and did something supernaturally. And that family's, you know, potential cancer diagnosis, the timing of my arrival, the healing that followed, I can't explain that. All I know is that if I hadn't said yes, I would have missed out on something that really built my faith that I remember to this day. That's also a story that I don't just, when I was writing the sermon, go, oh, I forgot about that. Like, that's something that's very real for me and very present and that I lean on all the time, all these years later. That story helped shape my ministry as a young man and then growing in faith to do things that perhaps I wouldn't have done. So your yes, as we're calling it, gives God permission to do what only he can do. And Cornelius, back to the scripture, was just being faithful with his quiet faith. as you've said, right? But God interrupted with something much bigger. Peter was just saying yes to this weird vision of a sheet dropping down and animals in it, and
I'm not trying to sound critical of the Lord. Feel like there are simpler ways that could have been communicated in this vision.
I think that too sometimes. I'm like, if you can cause that, and it even says, which is so weird to say he was in a trance. Like, that just feels weird why trance? And so if you put him in a trance and he's in this strange metaphysical kind of place, then why couldn't you just speak to him and make it real clear? Why did it have to have the sheet and the animals?
You saying that this is pure conjecture. Did God leave enough obscurity there that he still needed the yes from Peter? Right. If I just lay it out for you, it's obvious. I'm just going to go. No, I still need, this doesn't seem clear, but I need you to take
a
step of faith.
And it's the timing of it all, right? That in that moment, so Cornelius has God speaks to Cornelius through this vision sort of, and then he sends them, and either they left that night or left the next morning, but it's only, as I said, about 30 miles. And so they're able to get there the next day, midday, about the time that Peter's waiting. And then he gives that vision. This comes in. Yeah. It's like God had to kind of unfurl it for him. Mm-hmm. So he says yes to this strange vision, and it leads to the gospel going global.
Yeah.
And most of us most of us are waiting to feel qualified, but God's just waiting for us to go back to the thing I said in the beginning. I'm available. Peter never would have thought in a million years, nor would Cornelius, is where we began this with. That's why you and I are sitting here. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 10 was the impetus of the gospel. And God's never late, even when we choose to wait. He was working in that. And it goes back. He was working in that neighbor's life before I ever knocked. And just a simple yes can be a miracle to somebody. Mm-hmm. I think if I could just say this as we close out, I think we're going on about 30 minutes right now. But do things like this really happen still? Yes. And it doesn't just happen to young preachers who are in their formative years. Yes, it still happens, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that story isn't just unique to me. It's not just unique to Peter or Cornelius or you or whomever. It is unique to anybody who would be willing to say yes and put themselves out there. And the reason we don't see more supernatural moments is because we don't take more supernatural risks. We just don't step out and do it. So God is moving around us constantly, but we miss it because we're not paying attention, or we're just flat out not willing. So it's easy to say. I think the question isn't, well, does that still happen? The question is, well, why am I not saying yes and allowing him to do it? So how do you do it? Start with a small yes. God will build your faith for bigger ones. The key is that I didn't manufacture that moment for me. I just obeyed when I sensed God was nudging me. God is already working before you arrive. You just need to show up when he invites you. So it goes all the way back full circle today. If you're listening or you're watching, just say yes.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Jeez, that was a line. We don't see supernatural things because we don't take supernatural risks. But you unpacked that so beautifully. You don't have to start with what feels like a supernatural risk. Mm. Start with a simple one.
That's right.
Start with and I think we talked about this early in this podcast about, reading scripture and it jumping off the page. And I was like, well, that's not every time.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be this voice of the Lord telling, hey, go do this.
Right.
You know what to do.
Exactly.
You know, the Lord has placed his spirit in you to lead. You know, hey, I feel like we should invite our neighbor over for dinner. Then do it.
And then watch God move. And that's where the supernatural happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you about to close?
I mean, we got a minute or two. There's something else.
Well, I just want to have some fun real quick.
Okay.
Did you hear him say topic? Say topic again.
Topic.
Say it loud.
Topic.
Topic.
What? Come on. What?
We were in a really serious. You say topic. We were really in a really serious moment when you were talking about topics. And did you see me grin a little bit?
No.
If you're listening, you didn't see, but I tried to cover a little bit because I was trying not to laugh. It's just a funny way to say it.
Can you say the word W-H-Y?
Why?
Why?
Hey, Brandon, I enjoyed covering this topic with you.
Why? Why? I can't even do it. I can't do it.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Church. I couldn't do it in that moment because it would have ruined the... But I was like, I'm going to remember and circle back around.
You know
that
what?
Was cute.
I'm going to show you grace in this moment. And yeah. I'm going to say this to you anyway. I missed you. It was fun doing it with
you
Maddie last
Maddie,
week.
You you missed me.
I think Maddie's and I was, maybe you could argue, was more effective because we just right. do this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, it was good. Oh, it was good.
I'll let you finish out, man.
Well, church, thank you so much for joining us for this segment of After the Amen. We will see you next time if we don't see you sooner.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us at the Cornerstone Ministry Sermon Podcast. If you have questions about Cornerstone, your faith journey, or you need prayer, please visit lifewithcornerstone.com to get connected.